We're continuing with the Lashot HaRan in the seventh speech. What page is it, Moshe, by you? It's Reish Nun Dalet in the Mosad Rav Kook edition. Kuf Yud Bet in the Shalem edition. Ve'al zeh derech yitperesh ma shamu beperek ha'zchot po'alim b'inyan Rabba Bar Nachmani. And based on this, we can understand what the Talmud tells us in the chapter ha'zchot po'alim. With regards to Rabba Bar Nachmani, the Talmud tells us in Baba Metzia, Havayati va'agilda dedikla ve'kagaris. When Rabba Bar Nachmani was running away from the king's men who wanted to kill him, so he came to a pasture and he sat on a trunk of a palm tree that had been cut down, and he started reviewing his learning. Shama de kamiflegi bimtivte de rekia. He heard an argument in the academy up in heaven. In beheret kodemet l'se'ar lavan tamei. The Torah teaches us that there's a type of spot, a white spot that can form on a person's body that makes them defiled with tzaras. And the Mishnayos discuss. You need to have white hairs that, together with the blemish, that make the white blemish recognizable, that define it as baheret, and make a person defiled. Now, what happens if the white spot comes before the hairs? Then clearly the person is tameh. And this is what he's overhearing from the academy in heaven. Im baheret kodemet l'se'ar levan, if the white spot precedes the white hairs, that means the white hairs grew out of the white spot in the body. So then the white spot already affected the hairs. So that's a clear indication that tamei, the whole person is defiled. Se'ar levan kodemet labaheret. What happens if the person had hairs turn white and then a white spot formed under those white hairs? So then tahor, we say he's pure, because the white hairs are not an indication of how far his illness has evolved. The white hairs preceded the spots, and then the spot didn't cause them. Safik, what happens if we don't know which came first? Is that person tamei or tahor? So this is what Rabbi Bar Nachmani is hearing from the academy in heaven. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omer tahor. God says pure. Umetiv tederikia amrei tamei. But the rest of the academy, the souls up there in heaven, all the tzaddikim learning, they disagree with God, and they all say no, it's tamei, it's defiled. So we know that there's an academy in heaven. We encountered it in our study of Brachos, where the souls of the rabbis go up and they continue studying Torah. So there's a machlokas in Shemaim, right? The rabbis over there, they don't feel like they have to give in either. So Amri Manochach. So everyone said, who's gonna prove it? Who's gonna be the deciding voice? Nochach Abba Bar Nachmani Davi Yachid Baalot. So the heavenly voice, he hears them talking, and he hears that they say, the one who should be the deciding voice is him, Rabbi Bar Nachmani, because he's the single one who knows Taharos. He knows the laws of purity best. And the angel of death couldn't come near Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Here the king decided he's got to kill him. The king sent his men and they couldn't catch him. He's sitting on this trunk while he's huffing and puffing. He's been on the run. And the angel of death can't touch him because he doesn't stop learning. Every second his mouth is reviewing his own learning, and the angel of death can't come near him. Azal idmile legunda de parashe. So the angel of death did a trick. He made himself look like a whole group of horsemen that are catching up with him. So Rabbi Bar Nachmani is learning, and he looks up and he thinks he sees the king's men coming to catch him. So Rabbi Bar Nachmani said, God, let me die. I don't want to go in their hands. Ishtik, he stopped learning for a second. And he passed away. So the angel of death tricked him, right? He wasn't about to be taken. He thought he was about to be taken. He thought they had him. Really, they didn't. But as he was dying, so he said, Tahol, Tahol, God's right. It's pure. What was he in the middle of learning? He was in the middle of learning that thing that he heard from heaven, that discussion. When you're unsure which came first, the hair or the white spot, is the person pure or impure? So he ruled like God said, that taho, against all the other rabbis. Yetzabat kol v'amra, a heavenly voice came out and said, Ashrecha Rabba Bar Nachmani, praised are you Rabba Bar Nachmani, shegufcha tov, yetzdan nishmatcha v'tara. Not only is your body pure, but even your soul passed away as you were giving ruling that something is pure. You're pure from deepest inside all the way out till your very end. So that's the story the Talmud tells us. Fantastic story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia. V'yesh kan sheilot atzumot. So the Ran, we understand the Ran brought this in because of the discussion. How are we to understand that God sometimes rules one way and the court down below rules a different way, and where does the truth lie, the way we've been discussing all morning? So he says, so there are some awesome questions here. Firstly, why are the souls of the righteous in heaven busy with questions that pertain to planet Earth? Why are the souls in Shemayim learning the halachos that pertain to blemishes of a human being that doesn't pertain to them? Secondly, after they hear that God, he says it's pure, how come they disagreed? To the point where Rabbi Bar Nachmani had to call the shot. So in answering these two questions, we will also explain in general how the whole Agada over here works. Davar barur muskam, what's clear and everyone agrees, is that she'afat pi shanefesh ein aguf velo koch baguf, that even though the soul is not a physical body, nor is it one of the forces of the body. It's not the electrons, it's not the blood in the heart, it's not something that you can discern. It's not a discernible force within the body. It's something spiritual. Afal pichen mitzad sheshachna beguf hitztayra mideot kashmiot. Nonetheless, the soul spent the time, the neshama spent the time in a physical body and was impacted by that body. It's not a pure soul, just a representation of God. A person's own neshama is nonetheless different after it's had the experience of living down below for so many years. Ad shechuyav mizeh shetishkon achrei parda b'makom gashmi. To the point, oh, now he's saying something a little bit difficult to swallow. He says, when it leaves the body, it has to rest in a physical space. Meaning the neshama has been impacted to the point where it has to rest in somewhere physical.
Where does he get this from?
Slowly, let's hear him out. He's mid-sentence. He can't ask when he's mid-sentence. Then it barer mizeh, Shegan Eden hu ba'olam ha'tachton. So what we understand from here is that the Garden of Eden is somewhere on earth. It's somewhere. You can't just say it's a spiritual concept, that the soul is just spiritually somewhere. No, there is a physical space called the Garden of Eden, and that's where the soul goes. Because to go from one extremity to the other extremity, from a physical world to a world that's spiritual and not physical at all, yikshe ki'im be'adraga. That's something that's difficult unless you do it gradually. So the first 12 months, the soul leaves the body and goes to the Garden of Eden, which is a place. And after 12 months, it can make its ascend to a completely spiritual world. The Talmud in Shabbos discusses this. The Ramban discusses this. The Rambam discusses this. The Rambam and Ramban both say that the Garden of Eden is a physical place. Wait, he isn't finished yet. Slowly. Uviyot barishona shchunata b'makom gashmi levad. And being that firstly, the soul, after it departs from the body, it remains in a physical place. Te'atek b'makom mimutza ben. I'm sorry. Being that originally, when the soul was still in the body, it lives in the physical world, and then te'atek b'makom mimutza, then it leaves the body and goes to this middle place, ben agashmi uben bilti geshem, a place that's somewhere in between. It's not completely spiritual. It's not completely physical. It's some kind of in between zone. Obviously, he says it's a physical space, but obviously it's a physical space that has more spirituality than the world we see here. V'hu yitron gan eden neshal mekomot, and that's what makes the Garden of Eden a special place. Meaning, if it's a physical space, so what is it? It's the lush gardens out in Africa? Where is the Garden of Eden? I don't know where it is, but he says wherever it is, it's a place that's more spiritual than what we experience in the rest of Earth. Just as the land of Israel is a more spiritual place than the rest of the world. Just as the land of Israel has greater potential for spirituality, so too the Garden of Eden is just one notch higher. That's what you find throughout the Talmud, that so long as the soul is within a body, so it remains in the physical world. Kilmram b'Talmud, as the Talmud says, the story we saw just this week, that when Shmuel's father passed away, Shmuel didn't know where he left the money that he had orphans' money that was entrusted by him. He was supposed to safeguard it. And when his father passed away, Shmuel wasn't present, so he didn't know where the money was. He had to give back the money to the orphans. So it says he went to the graveyard. And he said, Ba'ina Abba, I'm looking for my father. Where was he that he was looking for his father? It says he went to Chatzar Mavet, the courtyard of death. Where is that? So he says, yeah, you see, there's another place to go after a person passes away where you could still access him. That's because it was right after his father passed away. You see, also Yaakov says, I can't bury Rachel in the land of Israel. Even though he was right near Israel. So that when the Jews pass by, she will beg over them. As Yaakov tells Yosef, when I was coming from Padan, Rachel passed away upon me. I was en route to Canaan. I was a short distance from Ephrat. Yaakov was apologizing. Your mother Yosef, she passed away when I was en route. As Rashi explains, and he tells him, I know we were just a few footsteps away from Israel, and I had to bury her there. But the truth, let's just hear him out. He buried Rachel out of Israel so that she weeps over her children. That's a tremendous allusion to this concept, that the soul is more connected to this world where the body is buried. The body was the resting place for the soul throughout its life. So if you want to know where the soul is most present, that's near where the body is buried. And that's all with regard to the fact that the soul lived in the body throughout this time. And because it spent all this time in the body, so then even after the soul passes away, it maintains thoughts, opinions, attitudes. I'm not sure how to translate the word de'ot, a physical thought process, even after the soul passes away. So therefore, he says it shouldn't bother you that they're discussing wisdoms that affect the physical man. Okay, there's more to be discussed here, but I see there are questions, but Avram was first. Yeah. It's Machlokas Ramban Rashi. I know that what they say is Kever Rachel is in the land of Israel. And there's a lot more to be said about that. Yeah.
First of all, he said it was the first 12 months that this spirit is doing.
Right. So right. So he began by talking about the first 12 months, and then he didn't say it. I quoted it. He says that he said that the originally, it's only in a physical place in life, and then it goes to a place that's in between, and then it moves its way forward. But he didn't spell that out. I was saying that based on other sources. He doesn't say that afterwards. He says that it goes from the physical place to the place that's in between.
Okay. But also, it seems to be, we always talk about, like, that's a clear, I've got a Gemara, you know? It seems to be taking that quite literally in explaining why they were discussing the Chochmah and it shouldn't be a tema to us. And he's not saying this is like something you can't understand, some type of secret. He's saying, they discuss the wisdom also, just like. And I mean, because then you could ask further questions. Well, they're discussing with God, explain that to me.
Right.
I mean, I would have an easier time saying this is all a metaphor or something.
Right. So, let's hear him out. Let's see if we're still bothered with that when he finishes. Let's see. Okay, let's just try to finish this paragraph. Mitzuraf and Zeki Bemit. No, we'll pause here. We'll pick up here Bezachim next week. I tried.